T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Bone-crunching hits, backboard-shattering dunks, backflips, and hat tricks on the Sports Leader, AM 950 and 95.7 FM, ESPN Rochester.
All right, you're back in the sports bar as we continue to bask in the glow of a roller coaster ride of a win for the Buffalo Bills. Yesterday, we bring in 13-WHAM Sports Director Mike Catalana to join us here in the sports bar. Mike, how you holding up, buddy?
Good, fellas. How's it going?
Boy, I love these this entertaining brand of football that the Buffalo Bills are playing. What's the bigger takeaway? As dominant as the Buffalo Bills were yesterday, Mike, up 28-3, but then letting that lead, handing it right back, 25 points over the window. Your big picture view of the win yesterday in Buffalo?
I guess my big picture view, and this seems so out of sorts for the Bills, is a concern about the defense. And the reason I say that is because, dare we say, we've sort of gotten used to this already with Josh Allen. Like, we call it the Josh Allen experience all the time, you know, where you're just living in that world. But, you know, he comes back. He makes plays. He's throwing for a ton of yards. You know, this year it's only been 3 games. We've seen flashes of it before. But my takeaway is, man, guys, the defense, you know, last week was Fitz and the Dolphins who pushed them to the limit. I mean, really, you'd have to say they're down in the second half of that game. And then this week, man, once the Rams got going, they were dominating the Bills. Now, I'm not taking anything away from the Bills because they also built a 28-3 lead. But my takeaway is, yeah, Josh has been really good. But, man, how about the defense help him out a little bit?
What do you think that is, Mike? Is that a sign of the guys just getting a little bit older? Have they been figured out? I mean, you know, is it a product of who they're facing? I mean, Fitz gets up for opponents sometimes. The Rams offense, it's a pretty good offense.
Yeah. No, the Rams offense is good. They were sluggish in that first half. And I don't know what goes on in the third quarter, but the Bills even scored early. And then once it turned fast. And look, I'm just going to bring this up. I heard you guys talking about the call. Tyler Kroft had that ball. It might have been that the defender got his hands on it. There's no reason that should have been called an interception. And then for them to confirm it, I guess maybe in part because it was called an interception, it just stayed that way. But this whole narrative about momentum and how it changed everything, I get it. It's an interception. Now, keep in mind, it was a pretty blatant push on Kroft's part,
yeah,
and they called a penalty. So they weren't getting the catch. It would have been first and 30 at their own 10-yard line. And as great as Allen has been, the chances of them converting on first and 30 are not great. So if the Rams get the ball back there in probably roughly the same position, I mean, it took them 3 plays to score a touchdown. And then they got it back and they scored again. Then they got it back and they scored again. So I know we talk about momentum and we like to say that, but the Rams had momentum when they took the lead. And how did they change it? Josh Allen drove down the field and won it for the Bills. So I think there's a little too much made of that interception in terms of impacting that. Hey, defense. They're only at their own 41. Step up, make a play. And they did not. And they did that the whole day. And I'm coming across negative here. The game was thrilling. Allen was great. I got him second in my MVP rankings right now.
Nice.
Like, I don't know what else he could be doing right now other than maybe, you know, not taking 2 15-yard penalties in the game. But he's been phenomenal. Isn't it something that it's Sean McDermott's defense that's somewhat letting down a team that's 3-0?
Yeah, and it's always happened at the same point, Mike, and we've talked about this before. And sure, the Bills scored in the third quarter, but again, the latter part, any theories as to why this team seems to have difficulty in the third quarter?
Yeah, I don't know. And, the last game, they also had the whole 45-minute or 30-minute delay. But the third quarters have been a problem. They look sluggish against the Jets there. I don't know. I know it's a short halftime. I know other teams make adjustments. Even the Jets, I guess, make adjustments. So that could be part of it. And I also go to this. The Rams are really good. And once they got that first touchdown, I'm sure the sense on the sideline was, we're back in this game. Let's go make a play. And they did, and then they got back in it. But look, I know everybody says about Levi. So Levi makes a play yesterday. But when I saw Cooper Kupp run into the end zone, that was Trey White chasing him, yep. Right? When I saw a blatant missed tackle, that was Tremaine Edmonds who missed it. I thought Milano came back on fire. I mean, that guy is such an important part of this team, but I have not seen the defense control things. First half yesterday, yep, they were really good. But you're right, in the second half, and we're going to be talking to McDermott today. I don't know if he's going to give away any big secrets, but right now, it's funny that it's his defense that's letting this team down.
Hey, Mike, I want to go to the offensive line for a second. What happened to Quentin Spain yesterday?
I think they've been looking. Look, I think the biggest thing is I think they're looking to get John Feliciano in at right guard. And I think he might very well be back. We'll know more about that. And I think that Quentin Spain might be the odd man out. That's at least what I have heard. Again, that's the hard part about being in this Zoom world. Like, we really lose connection in the locker room. But that's kind of what the feeling is. And so they do have some depth on that offensive line. And I think they're looking for a way to get their five best. And if that's the case, I think Quentin Spain may be the one that's out.
You can't sell me that Quentin Spain is any worse than Brian Winters, though, at right guard. And yes, Winters was going, that was a good defensive line with Aaron Donald yesterday, but just with my untrained eye, Mike, I didn't like the performance yesterday from Winters.
Maybe it's just his experience that they like. I don't know. They obviously like Spain enough to bring him back, and I think they do like they do like having that depth too. So I mean, look at what they did this year. You get Cody Ford now at the guard spot. And now, again, this is what I'm saying is with Feliciano, I think that's going to end up being their five. So I don't think it'll be Winters once Feliciano is back. But I guess we'll wait to see how they map it out. Wait a minute. Hold on. Am I allowed to speculate on that? Am I going to get in trouble? Well, can I?
You've got that inside information that we just are so used to getting. We haven't been able to get it in a while, Mike. Thank you for sharing that stuff with us.
There you go. All right. Well, let's pretend it wasn't me that said it. How's that?
Well, I mean, you take it down that path, and I start to think to myself, all right, if Quentin Spain isn't good enough to be on the field, but we know who Quentin Spain is based on how he played last year, and he was good enough for them to bring back this year, I mean, could Quentin Spain be dealt?
I always think about that in certain positions and say, especially on the O-line, where you are, you're only playing a certain amount of players. Like, you want to keep a regular five in there. If they have, that position of need for them, I would say is corner still, because I don't know how thrilled they are. Like I said, Levi made a play yesterday, but they're still giving up a lot. Could they make a move like that? Sure. Brian Winters is another guy that could be traded. And you look and you go, oh, come on. Like you were saying, he's playing great. Look, there's a lot of teams struggling. This certain team down 95 in Philadelphia is playing with two backup guards and a backup tackle. There's teams that would take offensive linemen like Quentin Spain and Brian Winters right now. But, the tough thing to do is deal away some depth. And then probably as soon as you deal it away is when you're going to need it again. Sure. So I don't know. I don't know what Brandon Bean is thinking at the moment, but having excess talent on the offensive line is a nice problem to have.
13 WHAM Sports Director Mike Catalano, our guest. We'll ask you about the Raiders here, but it's before we get to the next home game, it's at Vegas, at Tennessee, and then Kansas City on prime time on October 15th. I think that'll be on your Fox station there, Mike.
Yeah.
You're hearing chatter about the possibility that could we actually have fans at that game. Mike,
yes.
are you hearing anything? Is there anything to this, or is this just unfounded speculation?
I look, from back in the beginning of the year, what we had heard was the plan would be to get some people in the suites and then maybe some pockets of fans. And I think it's both because of the timing, which would be not the first month of the year, where a lot of teams said, not our first two home games, you know, we'll see how it maps out, and seeing how other teams that have fans are doing, and the fact that it's national TV and all that. That's what I've been hearing for the longest time, is open up the suites, not all of them, because it's a little easier to maintain, a little easier to sort of bubble people in the suites, and then have pockets of fans. But again, do we know that it's a guarantee? No. Do we think there's a chance? Sure. I think there's a chance. I think they would love nothing more than to have some fans in, which what it does is then, look, I'm telling you, from being up there, you know, there's zero fans going in. Once you go to any fans going in, the whole landscape of the place changes, right? Now you got security, now you got cleaning, now you got some form of concessions. I mean, there's so few people in that building for a game now. It's limited media, players, staff, a few security people, because there's nobody else in there, and that is it. So once you allow fans, obviously, you know, you've got the fans, and then you've got all this other part of infrastructure. And I mean, look, they don't even have like food servers for media. Like, it's a box lunch, right? And I'm not complaining. I'm saying that's how tight they want to keep it at the moment. But it would be great. It would be great to have at least some people in the stands for Kansas City.
Mike, out of curiosity, if they were allowed to do that, if they were allowed to have fans come back in, a select number of fans, how would they select the fans that would be available? Would that be a lottery selection? How would you determine who gets to go in and who doesn't?
That would be my guess. I've heard that from, you know, I don't know how they would split things up in the suites. My guess is there's probably certain levels of suites. Maybe they would go in that direction. And then it probably would be on some sort of a lottery basis, or, you know, maybe depending on how long you've been a season ticket holder.
Is that what other teams are doing,
Mike? At a game. I think some of the teams I've heard have done it by strictly a lottery. Other teams, well, look, they did it in Miami, and they still didn't sell 13,000 tickets. So I guess it depends on the city. But I would think they would do it certainly with season ticket holders, and then you'd have to determine, in what way do you say, you know, Bills have a decent amount of season ticket holders. Say you're going to allow, like in Nashville, I think they're allowing 6,000 fans. So, heck, the Bills had 20,000 fans in Nashville last year. So I don't know exactly how they would do it, because it hasn't gotten to that point yet. But my guess, it would start with season ticket holders and have some form of either a lottery or based on seniority.
13 WHAM Sports Director Mike Catalano, Bills in Vegas. And Mike, we're just kind of diving into this now, but certainly one of the concerns I have going up against Jacobs and that offensive line, and the fact that the Buffalo Bills didn't look particularly good on the defensive run side yesterday. Your opening thoughts here on what lies ahead for Buffalo heading to a new place, Las Vegas.
Yeah, it's a tough matchup for them. Look, I mean, I think the Bills are a really good team. They're 3-0. Like I said, they flirted with it yesterday, but they found a way. But when you look at the way the Raiders play, I mean, they got run over by the Patriots yesterday defensively. But if you look at the way the Raiders play, you know, they have been putting Carr in pretty good spots. I didn't see as much of the game yesterday. I was going to get a chance to watch it later today. But they can run the ball. I mean, that's their strength, I think. And they've got some talent around Carr. You know, I don't want to look at it as a three-game stretch, because it can seem a little like, well, I mean, those three games, like, if you're a Bills fan, sure, you want all three. But what are you thinking? If we get two of them right now, would you take it? If I said to you, you get two of the three, I think you take that in a heartbeat, right, with those three games. But you don't want to get off to a bad start in this stretch. And I got a feeling that it's going to be I just have a feeling it's going to be a little tough sledding for him in Vegas. I think them coming off a loss, the Bills coming off this win, I'm a little concerned with how the defense is going to perform against Jacobs.
Valid concern. Mike Catalano, 13WM Sports Director, joining us here in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Mike, but before we let you go, we've got to get a check on your guys. I mean, you know, I fell off the Wentz wagon. I would love to see a little bit more accuracy with this West Coast offense. I know that the line is a little bit of a mess, but Wentz has not been playing well in Philadelphia. Just
right.
a thought on 0-2-1 and a tie yesterday against the Bengals.
Yeah, Doug Peterson was an embarrassment yesterday. Look, I love the guy. He won the Super Bowl for the Eagles. But he did a terrible job with them. He did a terrible job at the end of the game. And then he comes out today and says, you know, in hindsight, maybe I should have done something else.
That's a kiss of death, Doug? Is it not? I mean, like, every time I hear a coach come out the next day and publicly admit that they did something wrong, it usually means their job at some point.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, look, he won the Super Bowl in 2017. They had never won one. I don't think he's going anywhere yet. But I do think, you know, he said today he's not going to change in terms of calling plays. Andy Reid used to do that on occasion when the offense would go flat. He'd either take a step back or turn over the play calling or turn over a portion of it. You know, maybe he was a little more confident that way in getting it done. I think Doug Peterson has done Wentz a huge disservice. They are a mess offensively. I mean, you know, I look back at to where the Bills were offensively a few years ago, honestly, because of injuries on the offensive line and ineptitude in the front office. That's where the Eagles are right now. Right now, Jason Peters looks shot at 38. They lost an all-pro right guard. They lost their starting left tackle. They lost the left guard for the season. So that hurts you, but the wide receiver position is terrible at the moment. They drafted Jalen Reagor, and he got hurt his thumb. He's going to probably be out at least another month. And, you know, They really put a, you know, virtually, I would say, barely NFL-level wide receiving core out there right now. So as many troubles as Wentz is having, and I see these people, I mean, you know, I get the idea of saying, what about Jalen Hurts at some point? Poor Jalen Hurts. You can't put a rookie out there with that at the moment if you have any thought that this guy someday is going to be your quarterback. And I love Nick Foles, and he did a great job for your Bears yesterday. Mm-hmm. But if Jason Peters is getting run over in 2 seconds, maybe Nick Foles ain't going to survive that, and he's not going to make those plays. So they've got a lot of issues. But on the plus side, yesterday they picked up a half a game on the division. So that was a huge day for them in the race to win the NFC East, right? You know, I mean, you know, the Cowboys put up a lot of points, but they really should be 0-3. So, you know, the Giants and the Washington football team are not going anywhere fast. So, well, maybe they are, but not going in the right way. So, yeah, it's been ugly so far, but, you know, we'll see what happens down the line if they can get a few of their players back.
Mike Catalano, 13WM. What are you guys working on tonight?
You know, it's funny. We talked about the plays. And I got reaction from some of the players yesterday on the call. You know, I hear, you know, like an idea, like the bad call against Croft and then, you know, a makeup call. No, that referee at the end of the game is not thinking about making up for a call, you know, an hour before. He made a call that I think was technically a correct call. But what I was trying to explain to Bills fans is you don't always get that call. And if it was the other way around, like any fan, you'd be a little angry at that call. Now, because the Rams are. Well, they lost the game on that call. And there's no coming back from that call. I mean, if that flag doesn't come down, the Bills are 2-1, right? The game is over.
Sure.
So I find that to be a really interesting thing to think of. I mean, look at the Rams. They won a game because of a call late in the game. That's how they beat the Cowboys, right? A pass interference, offensive pass interference call. And now they lose one that way. So in the big picture, these things tend to even out. The Bills got one there. It was the correct call. But you know what? It's like LeBron going to the basket late in the game. Does he get the call? Maybe not everybody gets the call, even though it's contact on the play. So in that case, hey, Gabe Davis got the call. That's great. We'll be talking more about that. And, of course, obviously, the Josh Allen experience.
Mike Catalana, 13WM Sports Director. Always good with his time and joining us at the Sports Bar. Mike, enjoy the rest of your week, bud.
All right, fellas, be good.
Thanks, Mike. Didn't even get to, you know, make fun of the Phillies there, but I'm sure Mike would know.
We made him talk about the Eagles. That's painful enough.
That's it. I mean, yeah, even we have a heart here in the Sports Bar.
I'll drink to that is on the way next. We've got some takes to share. Takes on tap. Gino's got his Survive in Advance pick for week 4 coming up here in just a few minutes as well.
I'm going to make a suggestion for that next home game on October 15th. I saw something yesterday out in Denver I really liked, and I think with the game being on Fox television, I think this is a natural fit for the Buffalo Bills coming up on October 15th, counting down that game against the Chiefs, and also logistics talk. Oh. All this talk. Rob Manfred said something yesterday. It was like, what? Okay, so we're looking ahead to 2021. Just want to point this out there.
Why do ties still exist? Speaking of the Eagles, why do ties still exist in the NFL? I have a reason why that still happens.
Well, you don't want to have a field goal kicking competition?
No. And a non-sports take. Content-related non-sports take on the way. All right, and then Gino Survive in Advance pick on the way as well. It's all coming up in the Sports Bar. Glad you're with us. AM 950, 95.7 FM, and ESPN Rochester on the radio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.